listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Wayne Fritz, and we have a special guest today. So it's our first show of 2024, I believe. So welcome back, everybody. And again, you know, we're on the same, we're on Amazon, Audible, iHeartMedia, Apple Podcast, and others. So you'll get to see us, listen to us on your favorite platform. Well, Wayne, go ahead and take it from here and introduce us.
Thank you, Bruce. Happy New Year to you again also. And I always like to say that, you know, I normally in the morning when I shave, I stand closer to my razor than you do. you were standing, it looks like, a little bit further away than I do. But I tell you what, your beard's looking good.
Thanks.
Looking good. Thanks. If I would never say anything about it if I could grow one.
There you go.
Well, I've got a real special guest here. And this guy, there's a lot I know about him, but there's a lot I don't know. There's a lot of rumors about him, too. But they're good ones. And so we've become friends through the years. By the way, I need to say this as I introduce him. Tracy Klimczak from Phoenix, Arizona, formerly a citizen of the great country of Canada. But Tracy, my son Andrew, said be sure to tell you hello, and you guys need to hook up. So I told him that this morning. But Tracy has quite a background, and if I could just say a couple things before we start covering him up with questions and banter. Is Tracy, and I know I'm going off top of my head now, Tracy, but you started your life in baseball.
Hmm.
You were, I want to know more about that, but then you went to a direct sales company. I want to know how you got involved with that. It's called Kirby, and you were a national sales trainer with them. And then you got involved with Salamaster, and I want to know more about that. And then you moved up the ladder. You had a huge dealership in Phoenix. You and your wife lived in a RV for several years, and before you had your son. And actually, I think you had your son while you were you in your house? Anyway, but he's been a master dealer, grandmaster dealer with Salamaster. He's been a headquarters in Phoenix for an innumerable amount of dealers looking at the business and then accepting it because they saw what Tracy was doing. And then also being trained out of Tracy's office. Actually, a guy trained out of his office became the vice president of Salamaster, Gary. So those all go back to the time they visited his dealership. So here's a guy that I know and I like. We kind of reconnected again in a sad time down in Florida a month or two ago, but I'm going to turn it over. And this is Mr. Tracy Klimczak, the world famous.
Well, I don't know if I can say world famous, but hey, I guess Bruce, your show does get broadcast through throughout the nation. So I've got that to look forward to. And Bruce, must say that I followed you more from your writings on your great book, with the movie that Dennis Quaid was part of. So that was probably my first introduction to you, and just thrilled to be with you guys here today.
Okay, well, good. Glad to have you on the show. And Wayne speaks very highly of you. And we're always, you know, that's the thing about the show. We like to showcase people's experiences and their accomplishments. And it's just really good to hear how people, not only what they've done, but how they got to where they are now. And that's just so fascinating. And everybody's journey is a little bit different. So we're looking forward to hearing about yours.
Sure. Well, sure.
If I could ask and get this thing kicked off too, Tracy, I mean, because this show is a coaching show. And the reason that I really was hoping you would join us is because everything you've done in the sports world, in the baseball, and you were being coached. You're still being coached. I mean, I'm still being coached. But you've also learned and you've coached and shared your stuff with other people. But when you started, I'd like to start back in the baseball.
Well, I grew up in a real small town in rural Canada in the province of Manitoba, a little town called Deloraine, Manitoba, where the men are men and the women are proud of them, I tell you. It was a little farming community about 10 miles north of North Dakota. And just to give you a bit of an idea of how things have changed, you know, where I grew up, there's a lake that's just outside of our town. And it's a very unique situation that, you know, not a lot of others can say they've had this type of upbringing. But the little town, this lake that's there, we call it Lake Metagosh in Canada. In North Dakota, it was called Lake Metagoshi. And it was 9/10 in North Dakota and 1/10 in Manitoba. So I grew up there in the 80s. And if you can think back to that time, a lot less restrictions and things have changed globally since then. But truly, as a young boy, I could jump off a dock and swim into America. I had great friends that, you know, would be water skiing or jet skiing and could, you know, do that without any issues. You could literally find the point, you could step into the U.S. So what a difference in time. Whereas now, friends I have that go up there for the summers, they, you know, they have to get special permits to be able to go across the line into America to go to the local restaurant or local golf course. And I guess it's the same coming both ways. But the reason I wanted to mention that, Wayne, is it's really neat when you talk about coaching and learning and you think how things have changed with the relationship of our countries, Canada and the U.S., whereas now my wife and I have been here in the United States full-time since 2005. And the lessons, I guess, I learned from my parents, you know, crossing the border as often as we did for sports or even school functions was, you know, when you cross that border, you keep your mouth shut, you smile, and you answer the questions you're asked and kind of keep it from there. And I think that's a lesson that maybe a few people should still be coached on today, but we might not want to get down that path, Bruce, too deep today. But yeah. As Wayne alluded to, I grew up playing, you know, every kind of sport you can imagine, and, you know, loved hockey and baseball and golf. And, you know, just even if I think back to lessons from coaches that I had in those sports, and my coach in golf was my father, who taught himself when he immigrated from Poland into Canada after World War II. But again, the lessons I learned was, you know, every shot you're taking, and I don't care what sport it's in, at the end of that shot, you're responsible for it. So the outcome, good or bad, those are sometimes very weighty decisions you're making on, did I do it right? Did I do it wrong? Did I learn from my mistake? You know, I'm sure any one of us can think to presentations we've done in sales or games we've been in sports where if we had it all to do over again, maybe things should have been done slightly different. But the beautiful thing is we're probably going to be faced with similar decisions to those at another time in our life. So let's just hope we learn from them and go from there.
Well, very good insight, Tracy, you know, very good insight. And when you started with the VAC company,
yep,
were you and Tiana together?
No, and I started that right out of my first year of university. And just backtrack a little bit, my baseball career stint, very, very short-lived. So for those of you there maybe going to try to Google my name, and I think you're going to have to go far, 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 far in the depths of the web to even find any acknowledgement of that. If you could ever think of any baseball movie you've ever seen or any sports you've ever watched, you know, I was at probably the lowest level of single A ball right out of high school, but it was a great summer that I got to spend doing that. And when that was complete, you know, I quickly enrolled in university, and it was after my first year of university, I answered an ad in a newspaper to looking for summer work, and ended up, you know, with Kirby selling vacuum cleaners, and, you know, worked my way up from that. And it was probably, 7 or 8 years later that I met my beautiful wife, who's still my wife today of 28 years, Tiana. And she will tell you, and I wouldn't be surprised if she is listening right now, that I'll probably get some very good coaching right after this call of the things I should have done and said and how I should have behaved. But I will make sure everyone here knows I've learned one lesson. baby. Anything good is because of you and our son, TJ. Anything that we go off the rails on, that's on me. But anyway,
Boy, I'll tell you what, Tracy, you're good. You're good. You talk about covering your bases. That's good. And you're right. Tiana, well, she'll be all over. Yep, she's a good coach. She's a real good coach.
Yeah.
So when you worked with Curry, I mean, you worked your way up. So you started.
Yep.
And you got in cleaning dirt out of floors and carpet. Yeah. You started at the bottom, literally.
True. And, you work at the bottom and you suck your way down even further.
Yes. But as you grew your career with them, I mean, 7 or 8 years later, you met Tiana, but you were still with Kirby. And all of a sudden, they took you from, you were good enough at it, and you probably trained in a dealership.
I did.
And then they wanted you to go outside and train other people.
Yeah, and again, in a nutshell, I think direct sales has also changed a little bit over the last few decades. I find it hard, Bruce. I'm sure you're the same way, and I'm sure you can relate, where I'm thinking back and I'm sharing something I learned decades ago. Like, to me, that still baffles me. Yeah, it was three decades ago that I answered that ad back in May of 1987. But yeah, I started as a sales rep. And one of the great things about sales, and I think I can say this for a lot of sales industries, there are a lot of sales businesses, that you do have a chance to work your way up, prove yourself, learn lessons on someone else's nickel. But if you learn those lessons properly, move up. So I went from being a sales rep to working to manage a small little team, to managing larger teams, to eventually running our own dealership. And from that, I really did excel, Wayne, in the teaching and training of others. And as that got noticed, the gentleman that was a great mentor to myself, a gentleman by the name of Mark Toronto, who is now lives in Mexico and just has a great, great life. I still follow him on Facebook and get inspired by what he's doing. He'd be another great, great person for the show at some point. But worked my way up and was doing some training throughout Canada. And with Kirby being an international company, they'd asked if I could start going into the U.S. to start doing some training there. And they actually sponsored Tiana and I sponsored myself. Tiana came because of our marriage, but I was sponsored in to work on getting my green card so I could start working in the U.S. and really also learned a great lesson from that doing things right is sometimes a strenuous process, that from the day my green card application went in to the day I had that little card in my hand was 9 years and 11 months later. So sometimes doing things the right way might not be the fastest way, but long-term is probably the safest and the best way. And I think that's a lesson we can all learn in business. But it was really interesting because when I worked primarily in Canada, Wayne, I could leave home on a Monday, come home on a Friday. So I started working in the States. The trips were longer. It's gone a little more. And my wife said, the money's good, but, we'd only been married a couple of years at this point. So I said, you're gone a lot. Like, how long is this going to go? And truly, on a whim, I said, why don't we get a buddy that I was playing senior hockey with at the time? I said, why don't we get Tarek to watch the house? And why don't you quit your job and you and I and the dog load up? And what we'll do is let's go buy a motorhome. And that way, if I can convince Kirby to, what they're paying for flights and hotels and all these things, maybe if I can get that funneled to me along with what I'm being paid, it can help kind of offset that expense. And truly, it was less than 14 days later, we had a 35-foot diesel motorhome, and we were driving from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, where we lived at the time, to cross the border to go and visit two offices we knew, one in San Jose, California, another one in Roseville, California, and with no other guarantees or promises other than the fact that, we got these two offices to call on, and it became that Tiana would reach out to the offices, kind of let them know who I was and kind of sell our story, if you will. And I'd worry about the work end. And we towed a Volkswagen Beetle behind that RV. And Tiana said, you know what? It sounds exciting. I promise, or I commit that we can do this for 6 months. 6 months turned into about 5 years. And it was during that time frame that, you know, I also met the president of Salad Master at the time, great individual, Keith Peterson. And he said, gee, you know, we hear what you're doing with this other company. Could you do that with us? And kind of in that interim, I'd also done some similar type work with a business forms franchising company, and it just steamrolled. And eventually we ended up putting our roots down in Phoenix, Arizona, a few years later, running our dealership. So that's our story. And I tell you what a ride it's been.
What? I didn't realize, I knew you had a motorhome because we share that. I mean, we lived on a motorhome for a little over 2 years. And what I would do that all over. I loved it. It was the best 2 years of my life. You get real close and personal, boy, when you're in that little 30. I think ours was 38 feet. It was a Monaco night.
Yeah.
And we pulled a car behind it and traveled all over the place.
I remember my wife and I talking about, you know, well, what if during this adventure, what if we get pregnant? You know, it seemed like every year the plan had to be reset. Like, are we going to do this another year? And, you know, because my contracts were generally a few weeks or maybe a year. I remember had a chance to meet Luis Gonzalez, who is major league all-star here with the Phoenix Arizona Diamondbacks when they won the World Series. And I remember meeting him and he telling me how baseball had changed since he played and obviously since I played. And he said that his entire time, and I might be slightly off on this, but I believe he told me that every contract he had was a one-year contract, and how he just knew that going into spring training every year, he had to prove himself. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously changed a lot and in sports nowadays with people getting the longer contracts. And he talked about how to himself personally, he felt that was very critical to him having a long career in Major League Baseball. The fact that he was always reproving himself. And you can't argue with the guy's numbers and his history and all of that. And so I look at it fairly similar that every year we had to set a goal, you know, are we going to do this again? And I loved when you talk about the motorhome stories. We were in our mid 30s at the time. So you can probably imagine a lot of the people we were parked beside in RV parks throughout North America were not in their 30s, right?
Yeah. Yes.
50s, 60s, and 70s.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget a time. A lot of times my wife would take the RV. She would drive it to whatever city we were in, whatever town. I would disconnect the car, go to work at that office, and call her kind of at the end of the day because cell phones weren't even really the big thing then, and find out, okay, where are we parked? How do I meet you? And more than once it happened where I'd pull up with the car later and I'd be approached by a good old boy in the motorhome park beside us. And there was this one guy in up near Lake Louisville, Texas.
I bet I stayed in the same park.
Yeah, and I remember this good old boy comes out to me. And like, barely have I got the door open. I don't think my shoes had both hit the ground. But he had to come out and tell me, that little whippersnapper wife of yours, I tell you, she pulled in here. She backed in and wheeled that thing. No one even helping her back in and get her bearings to get that camp all set up before you came in. And you know, boy, was that impressive. And it was my wife, you know, she can do anything, but I did look at this guy and say, well, sir, I will let you know, she's probably 40 years younger than anyone else backing up one of those big units. So her vision's pretty good. So she can definitely get that done and anything. So those stories were great. But anyway, from the coaching standpoint, just, you know, that business of reproving yourself on a daily, weekly, monthly, annual basis. I guess if I could coach anyone that's listening to this today, regardless of what level you get to, you know, I wish I could remember who told it to me, but something to the effect of, you know, your title and all of that acknowledges what you've done. However, your legacy and what you're going to be remembered for is what you're doing now. And that changes every day. So just make all of them the best one, put your best foot forward and prove yourself to someone every given day, because it's important.
Tracy, I was going to ask you, I like to ask this question to everybody that comes on the show, the Salad Master experience. Now, I don't come from that world at all. Yeah. I completely different world. But the one thing that I kind of hear about Wayne and others is the importance of setting up these shows. Is that the right word, Wayne? Yeah. Setting up these appointments, these demonstrations, right?
Mm-hmm.
How critical was that to your success in that industry, the ability to set up these shows and demonstrations?
Right. Well, I guess whether it be selling a high-end, well-crafted set of kitchen products in someone's home or a vacuum cleaner, or my wife owns a couple retail outlets, you know, setting that appointment with different offices that they might call on for health and wellness. A sales rep with no appointment is just wandering. Like, I have a great friend who's a fabulous financial planner up in Canada. And I remember when he was getting into that, he started in that industry, kind of in the office, and was working to become an actuary, you know, great book smart guy and, you know, great with numbers. And I remember when he went out and branched out on his own, he said, you know, being an independent salesperson is, boy, this is great. But he says, every day I wake up, I don't know if I'm really a sales rep or am I just unemployed? You know, a lot of truth to that. So same thing with the appointments we're setting. If you don't get good at that, getting the appointment, understanding whether it be on the phone, through email nowadays, text messages, if it's just meeting with someone face-to-face, realizing what is the purpose of that first contact. Ooh. It's not to sell all your product. It's not to bombard them with information. Mm-hmm. It's just to get to that next step. Right. And I would say in sales, that next step is that face-to-face, belly-to-belly, chin-to-chin appointment. So it's learning how much information do you need to give to get the appointment set. How much is too much that all of a sudden they don't need to see you to spend that real critical time with you?
So there's a sweet spot, you're saying, of what you do to get to the next appointment.
Definitely. And, you know, Bruce, I'm sure you and I have read a lot of the same books that talk about the elevator talk that you need to give
the elevator.
Little introduction about yourself. And,
right.
You know, it's so important, whether it be – and I learned that, you know, I'm sure on this broadcast I probably come off as 6'4", good solid 2.25". My son, who just turned 12, you know, he's only a little bit strong. On a good day, I might push 5'7". So my point is that I had to learn in sports very, very early that, you know, I had to have a good relationship with my coach, because I wasn't going to intimidate anyone from just walking, you know, onto the field or busting out on the ice or stretching mm-hmm. on the infield. So, you know, even that first impression, you know, they're important. I had to make sure that whoever I was dealing with, they knew I was serious and I wanted to be taken seriously, even though I might not have that demeaning, you know, killer look to me on the sporting field. But the business aspect, same thing. Whoever that new boss, like, I'm sure we have people here that are going to interviews today because of this week, because it's a new year. And man, that first impression is so darn important. And you can carry that forward to whatever sales call you're trying to book going forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's good stuff. Cause I know, you know, it's cause you don't get the sales unless you set up the appointments or the shows. So.
Yeah. And Wayne, you know, we did a lot of that if we made a good impression with that person we were with, and they were then introducing us to others, you know, it could go very well or it could go nowhere. And that's also, I think, the beauty of knowing those things, because if you go, oh, I'm a fabulous salesperson, I'm a fabulous motivator, and you think you have all this, man, I can tell the story. If no one ever wants to hear it, maybe you're missing out on something. What's the old phrase we've all heard? You might think you're a good leader, but if no one's following, you're just out for a walk.
Right? Yeah, so. That's right. Well, and I tell you, there's a lot of walkers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of walkers. You know, what I hear, Tracy, is, and it's so true. If you're going to be a leader, or you strive to be a good leader, you do have a level of humbleness. That's a very important part of being a leader. And I think you and Deanna have always had that. And I think that's something that helps make a, and I don't know if that can be taught. It can be taught, but I don't know if a lot of people want to learn that, because that's a pretty hard thing to change if you're not naturally that way. You know, I was always told that the best salespeople are introverts instead of extroverts. And I found out it's true. And then I think it's just easier to train someone that's an introvert. I think it's easier to help them become successful, because a very extroverted person thinks they know it all and they don't need your help. And then they'll go fall down and get a bunch of no's, or they'll get these people they meet for the first time that are kind of turned off, and they'll fail. And then what they do is they blame it on the business instead of their ability or their willingness to slow down, learn. Yeah. Here's the way that works. If you do it this way, it'll work. If you want to do it your way, feel free, but I can't guarantee you that it'll work. So and you've got those qualities. I think you've always had those qualities. So
it helps when you really marry up a few levels, Wayne.
I got you.
That helps because at a very early age, you're out of your league.
Let me write this. Let me put another one in Tiana's column. Okay. Oh, listen, I'll tell you what. Oh, you are extra strength industrial.
You talk about these lessons, and although I guess my first real quote unquote paying job, like direct sales, was right out of college and university, but I shared a very similar background to a gentleman that I know you've had on this program before, Dave Bryant. Dave is a close friend, I think, to a lot of people that maybe even watch this show. He and I met each other, you know, in our 40s or 50s, something like that. But we grew up not far away from each other in Canada, never knew each other. But he and I both started our career, if you will, selling something called Regal Stationery, which... funny that years later, we both ended up with Regalware as a manufacturer. Nothing to do with this company out of Canada, but they sold pencils and stationery. And I got this opportunity because, again, I saw it in a newspaper. You could sell pencils and stuff. And my mom was a retired nurse. My dad was a hospital administrator. And, you know, when he only got a little bit of time off in the summer. And I wanted to have a summer job because I saw friends that, you know, were making money doing paper routes or working at the grocery stores and things like this. And, you know, I remember really asking my dad, you know, I want to get a job. And I remember my dad telling me that, you know, said, son, I only get a couple weeks off in the summer. He says, the last thing I want is that we can't do a family vacation because I was maybe 10 at the time, my 10-year-old son has got a paper route and I'm going to be stuck at home for 2 weeks. So he says, there's lots of ways to make money, but it's not with a job. And, you know, that lesson didn't even kick in. And it wasn't even meant as a lesson. It was just, he just didn't want me working for someone telling me what to do. So I found a way to make a little bit of money. Like, I didn't need much, you know, it didn't cost much to go to the movie theater and buy a popcorn and a Coca-Cola back then. But what a neat lesson that I was told I couldn't have a job because my dad wanted to be able to take time off. And yet I found a way. And Dave Bryant, same type of thing. Like that was just a way that we first started making money. And how interesting it is that, you know, I've never really had a quote unquote job. Like I stumbled into this sales thing. That's why I wanted to get good at sports. Cause I thought it was a great way to not have to work, but whole reason I didn't have a career in sports, I guess I didn't work hard enough. So,
by the way, Dave probably is listening or watching because I told him you were on.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And I also told Stanley.
So it sounds like he's, it, other than having a 9-to-5 job and a boss and a job description, sounds like the sales career is somewhat emancipating because you kind of feel like you're self-employed to some degree.
Correct. Right? And I guess I can't speak to all sales industries. However, I do know that a couple things all sales jobs have in common, whether it be selling pharmaceuticals, whether it be selling a home good, whether it be working even in a retail store. The better you are at making sure the people you're in front of know the true benefits of those products and how it's going to help them, the more product you're going to sell. And I think a person that understands what their abilities were to help that process happen, they can command a pretty good income going forward. But it comes down to, again, that belief in themselves. And that's something that the more wins you have under your belt going forward, the better that belief is. But we've had people on this show, I'm sure, and fabulous people I've met in my life that are way more talented and skilled than I am, that also have those days where they're going, did I make the right choice? Like, is this the direction I should be going? Yeah, and they question themselves. And that's normal. Our pastor talked about that at church just yesterday, you know, questioning and wondering. And so I think that's a great lesson, you know, on the concierge coach here, that we learn that as much of the knowledge, you'd have your doctorate, your PhD, you could be the foremost authority on anything. And still, right, those questions of self-doubt will get in there. But that just shows you're normal.
I like how you put about, instead of I'm selling product X or Y, I'm educating people about how this helped them, right? I'm connecting people to a solution or something. You know what I mean? And so it kind of takes a little bit of the sting out of it, where I'm just selling pots and pans or cookware or whatever.
I think so. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, for all of us, everyone, I believe, has been put on this planet with a want and a need to have some self-worth. And if you realize, you know, and let's take a look at, I say sales, but, you know, there's been times in my sales career where, you know, there was a time in my life where I wanted to be a lawyer as I was a young man growing up, and, you know, different things, you know, a teacher, a pastor, like a lot of, oh man, if my mother was alive, she would probably tell you about the time, I guess I was maybe 10th or 11th grade. And we sat down with the list of things that I was going to do when I grew up. And again, it wasn't a lesson that I think she planned, but okay, Tracy, let's just write this out. Like, what are you going to do? And, you know, I was really battling, like, how do I get this all in? Like my major league baseball career, how do I then have time to practice for when I'm going to be on the PGA tour? Cause I can do that when I'm a little older, and like with my law degree that I'm going to get, like, how am I going to be servicing clients to meet those right people that are going to help me become prime minister? Like, how the heck am I going to do all this, Mom? So I remember sitting at our little kitchen table writing all this out with timelines, and okay, well, I guess you got to get the law degree first, but you could probably.
Or a bottle.
None of it came true. Not even close to anything of it, but it was a plan. And I guess I learned that, you know, you can get off track, as long as you're still going someplace, that's all right. So what a great lesson that I got from my mom of just being there for your family, allowing them to have these crazy cockamamie dreams that may never come true, but realizing that's okay. I think it was Zig Ziglar that maybe it's Tom Hopkins, but one of them that said, you know, be very careful about squashing the dreams of someone of something that's never been done before. Because our world may have been in existence for over 2,000 years waiting for that person to be born to accomplish that goal. So be careful of a squashing. You
know, Tracy, I just read something the other day you reminded me of. It was everyone kept telling Beethoven that he could not write music because he was deaf. But that's okay. He didn't listen. I thought that was kind of funny, but at the same time, it had quite a message to it.
Right? Yeah, a lot of truth to that.
Don't squash somebody's dream.
Yeah.
And there's story after story after story about that.
I grew up in a little home, a little town, like I said, in rural Canada, where, you know, so many Canadian kids have goals and aspirations of playing in the NHL, being a professional hockey player. And the town I grew up in was really unique, that there were people who made it to that level. And I'll tell you what, when you know of them and like, and their family still lives three doors down, well, I guess that's possible then. And then someone else. So, you know, having those reference points, I guess the point I'm trying to make, Bruce, is that when we're aligning ourselves with mentors, or we're trying to get suggestions from people as to what we can do and how it can happen. Mm-hmm. And Wayne, this might be one I got from you. You don't take swimming lessons from a drowning man, right? So you got to go to the right person. So if you are going to set those goals to be successful in business or running a radio talk show or being a TV personality or being at the top of your game in whatever industry that is, go to those people that have done it. Try to seek them out. Some of them might be a lot closer to you than you think, but don't go to the ones that haven't done it. And again, like I said, this little town of mine, Deloraine, Manitoba, you know, it was great that we could all reference someone who made it to that level. So it made it believable.
Yeah.
Actually, it was Tommy Hopkins that said, never take advice from someone more messed up than you. And that's kind of about the drowning guy. Yeah, so that's so true.
We might have to cut my time with you short then, because I might be more messed up than most that are watching.
No, listen, we all are. But listen, this is very good, Tracy. I'm really happy. I mean, it's you're very wise, and very much appreciate that you're on here. Great stories, great mentorship for people that are listening. I think this is a lot of good messages here for
them. Well, you know, next thing I'll share, maybe it's the last, I'm not sure how long we're going to go today, but you talk about that mentoring. And I think I shared this with you last time I bumped into you, Wayne, that, you know, our son, TJ, he's 12, almost, he'll be 13 this coming year. And, you know, I became a dad in my 40s. So, you know, I'm learning lessons now that friends of mine that I graduated high school with, heck, they learned this stuff way ahead of me because they became parents much earlier. And I remember my son and I, we were, I can't remember what the topic was or what we were trying to work through, but I remember it was one of those moments where, just as a dad, it wasn't going great. I was kind of questioning, you know, how do I help, you know, make this young, impressionable, valuable mind understand this point that I'm trying to get across. And I remember looking at TJ and I said, you know, son, I've only been a dad as long as you've been alive. So, you know, what I'm trying to grasp here, like I don't have a toolbox to refer to. So we're going to kind of have to struggle through this one together. And I can't remember what it was, but hey, we still struggle through things. But I think that was, and again, that little bit of wisdom must have came from someone else, because I don't know how I could ever claim fame to that one. But, you know, it's realizing that we all have opportunities to learn each and every day and to grasp those. And maybe someday those lessons will be imparted on others with some benefits. So maybe a dad or a mom who's on the phone today or on the watching this might be able to use that little snippet to get them out of a problem that they screw up as a parent.
Well, being a parent can sure develop your mentoring abilities.
Yes.
Absolutely. Because there are, it's everything about mentoring. I mean, what, you know, holy moly. Yeah. So you really learn a lot if you're a parent that listens, and you learn how to listen. Oh boy. What? You go through about everything as a parent. And Bruce has got a couple of them on here, a couple kids also. And I do too. And you know, you've probably met both of mine, but you and Andrew became good friends. And he still appreciates you a lot.
Yep, I'm 38 years older than my oldest, so.
Okay, well, that's...
You could say, man, you're still on this earth 38 years. You better learn something in those 30 years before you had me. But yeah, man, no, that's good stuff. So we got about 10 more minutes left here. So now, I guess, share with us kind of what's next for you in your career trajectory or work trajectory in terms of coaching, consulting, team building. What are some?
Sure. Well, I guess just in overall concepts comment.
You tell me about Salad Master. It's just a secret. I'm sorry. I had to throw that in.
Anyway. Just the overall concept of life is just understanding, you know, as these next years present themselves, making sure that I'm always putting myself in a position that I can be learning, taking that information and sharing it with others in whatever walk of life. My wife says she owns a couple retail outlets of a, am I allowed to say brand names and everything? I guess I am, Wayne. I've heard you. She owns a couple of your CBD store, SunMed franchises, which is the hemp industry and the brand she's aligned herself with. It's the largest brick and mortar CBD retailer in the country. Great, great founders of this business, great leadership, fabulous people. And it's all involved in health and wellness. So I'm involved in that. She owns the store. So I guess I tongue in cheek, but with a lot of truth say, you know, I work when and where she tells me to. So, you know, that so what's my future look like? Well, it's whatever she tells me to do. That's what my future looks like. I have over the last, about a year or so, the company asked if I could help out with going and mentoring some of the other retail stores that have opened up in this. And I really do enjoy that as well, as I'm dealing with retail business owners and helping them with understanding cost of goods and scheduling and hiring people. And, you know, I guess all the stuff that we've done before. So Bruce, that's, whether it be in any industry, I forecast that I'll be involved in that type of role in some way, shape, or form. You know, I heard our pastor just before the end of 2023 talking about, you know, needing more people to take on a role at the church of mentoring. And, you know, I think I might be a good person just greeting people like, hey, welcome to church. So again, do I know exactly where it's going to go? No, only because I learned that lesson from my mom. I got a list. Don't get me wrong. I got a list. But my list could be way off. But I think that the results will be similar in terms of what I'll be doing and how I'll be aligning myself. And I think that will remain the same. I'm excited about it. That I remember as a young boy getting involved in direct sales with Kirby. The mentor I had, Mark Toronto, he was very successful at a very young age. And like by the time he was 25, you know, the guy was a millionaire. And I remember starting in that industry when I was 19 thinking, well, if he could do that, I can do that. So I remember not being a millionaire at age 25 and thinking, I guess I screwed up. Like I must be a failure because the path was there. The leadership was there. The path I was getting, the skills were like, it must be me. But I remember hearing from someone that goals are never wrong, but timelines often are. So I reset that, okay, you know, and also I guess the reason I reset my goal and didn't leave Kirby at that time, I still had to make some money. I couldn't retire. So I guess I had to be doing something. And at the time, that was as good as anything else I'd found. In Canada, we used to have commercials that came on. I remember as a very young man, I forget which investment firm it was. It was Freedom 55, Freedom 55, Freedom 55. So, you know, setting yourself up so at age 55, you could retire.
Mm-hmm.
As I got involved in direct sales, I saw a lot of people that I had a lot of respect for that were older than 55, still working, not because they had to,
no,
because they wanted to. Well, in a matter of days, I'll be 57? Is that right? 56? I was born in 1968. So you do the math. See, I'm not going to let the fact, don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. So my point is that I'm over that 55 and I still love seeing people that are working and, you know, a real mentor of mine when I got into Salad Master, Larry Dickman, who's still working today in his 80s and does it because he loves it. Wayne, I met you when you had been the president of Salad Master, had gone back to running a dealership. We're still working in a mentoring role for a number of us, helping with coaching. And again, I think you were a little beyond 55. So, you know, when you say, what am I looking at doing, Bruce? I can't say I have 100% certainty of what the role or the title or the job or the industry will be, but I sure hope it's getting to reach out and if I am greeting and saying, welcome to Walmart.
Hey, those are all points on the map. As long as you're even leaning north, that's good enough. You know what I mean? No, it's fine. Because anything can happen at any time. I understand that. I mean, I'm positive. You know, I never thought I'd have this show. I never thought I'd be a certified coach. And even some stuff happened here recently. And another growth move's kind of fallen in my lap. I didn't necessarily want it, but once it fell in my lap, I'm going to go ahead and take it. I don't want to say take advantage of it. That sounds wrong, but I'm going to exercise the opportunity that's ahead of me. Never saw it coming. Just kind of fell in there.
Well, I accepted this call today because LA Talk Radio. So I'm probably going to get a call. Might have to be replacing Ryan Seacrest or something on his morning show in LA after this. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, but this could be the path to
you're more than welcome to use the LA Talk Radio photos as seen on, as heard on. You can use that indiscriminately now that you've been on the show.
Can I share a funny story, Bruce?
Sure.
When my wife and I were traveling in the RV, we spent a Christmas in the Huntington Beach area. I was doing some work there, and we almost got our Christmas photos taken. And our son wasn't born. We had a little schnauzer that used to travel with us. We wanted to get our pictures taken. We were away from Canada. So we thought, let's sunglasses on, shorts. Let's go and sit on Santa's knee. So we went to this really, it was a high-end mall. And I knew it was high-end because I'd never been to a shopping mall that had valet parking. Like I was like, this is ridiculous. So I'd been at the mall the day before and said, you know, can we come in and bring our little dog for this family photo? And with Santa. And they said, yeah, that'd be fine, but the dog can't touch the ground in the mall. You'll have to carry the dog. And I said, well, it's a small dog, only about 15 pounds, so no problem. And they said, well, come back around this time and we'll just kind of get you the front of the line because if you're bringing a dog, like this was way before service dog and support animals and all that. So I was very thankful they were willing to do this for us and wanted to get the picture taken quick enough so it could make a postcard or Christmas card. Anyway, we show up the next day and my wife and I come in wearing sunglasses and, you know, we're in Huntington Beach, which is a nice area of LA. And so we kind of come in and the guy recognizes me. So waves me up and the little female elf kind of scurries us up and gets us up there. And we go, we take the picture. We're in, we're out, like no inconvenience. We cut in front of some people, but it was their doing and all that. So now it comes time we're going to pay and for our pictures. And my wife's holding the dog and I'm going to get the money out. And the one, there's two gals working the cash registers. And one's nudging the other and saying, you ask him, you ask him, you ask him. And so finally one of them say, sir, are you famous? And I'm like, am I famous? She goes, well, you're here. You're in sunglasses. You got right to the front of the line. Like, you know, you must be famous. Well, it was maybe 3 or 4 days earlier. Tiana and I went to Universal Studios and sat in the audience for a filming of Spin City, show that Michael J. Fox was on, and then Charlie Sheen replaced him on that, Heather Locklear. So just it very quickly came to me. And when she said, are you famous? I said, well, you might recognize me from the set of Spin City. Because if they'd been in the audience, they would have recognized me because I was there. And I was wearing sunglasses that were covering half my face. So I thought, well, but anyway, I knew it. So anyway, if I was so damn famous, they wouldn't have made me pay the $20 maybe that is for anyone listening. Those are the things that being in sales and working with people can teach you. You got to think on your feet. And that's so if you're a teacher in your classroom or if you're an executive in your boardroom, quick thinking better be one of your skills you eventually possess.
All right. Well, there it is, folks. There it is right there at 50 minutes. Good job, Tracy. Thanks for coming on the show today. Pleasure to have you on here. Thanks for sharing all those experiences and observations. It's been a lot of fun, folks. And continue to see us on our Facebook page, Concierge Coaches. We're on Instagram at Concierge_Coaches. And we're on iHeartMedia and Apple Podcasts. And, of course, all the shows have been, there you go, all the shows are cataloged on the LA Talk Radio website. You can view the shows or download the shows, either MP4 video or MP3 audio. So with that, we'll bid everybody a great week, and we'll see you next time. Oh, and Wayne, how can people?
Wayne_515@yahoo.com.
And Tracy, is there an email or a website folks can reach you?
Oh, sure. By all means. T. Klimczak, which if you're looking at this, you'll get the spelling right of the name. tklimczak1616@gmail.com.
Awesome. All right, then. Well, thanks, everybody. And we'll see you here next time on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio.
Bye. Thank you. Thanks, Tracy.
Thanks.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.